All right, guys, welcome back to the Contractor Compass podcast. We've got episode 34. It's been a few weeks since we've been here. We've been very busy. All three of us. Jason is still actually missing in action today. He's on site with some clients. So me and Tom today, we've got kind of an interesting topic. It's been brought up a couple times, or opportunities to bring it up a couple times with some of our guests in the past. And just so happens that Tom is, pretty versed in it. So today we're going to be talking about capital and how to use that business growth through lending. And Tom's going to kind of walk us through that and the different ways to do it and how it can be beneficial and how he's seeing it happen. Tom, you made a great point. Just kind of just get us into the conversation. You made a great point a minute ago about Matt, and him, talking about you want to grow your business, buy another one. So where are you seeing, just to kind of start us out, if you're I mean, I'm gonna get into like an I think of an avatar. I'm automatically like a certain person when I think of business capital. I think of like, a mid-sized company that wants to acquire and wants to grow fast. So they're looking to acquire because they're trying to play that game instead of spend 10 years doing it. But ultimately, like, is that the most common thing that you do, or is it like for equipment? Or like, what do you see? How do you see people leveraging capital? How do you see it? And what do you think is a good way to do it? What do you think a bad way to do it? Like, kind of jump into that, so we can kind of start this out.
Well, I'd like to start by explaining the relationship. I've been on
Please.
the podcast for some time. We had an episode where we talked about IHCS, where we helped them with their consumer financing. So
Yeah.
that's a B2C transaction, right? The dealer brings us a customer. We get that customer finance for that dealer. Another thing that a relationship between IHCS and Capital Concierge. I am the managing partner for Capital Concierge. It's a B2B type scenario. So what we're seeing right now as IHCS, we deal with well over a couple hundred different dealers across the United States. And it's probably about at least one every couple of weeks where the dealer reaches out to us and says, "Hey, I get bought out by a private equity firm." These private equity firms, they're looking for good, strong businesses that they can invest in for geographical locations and things like that. But
Yep.
along with that, like Matt that was on here 3 weeks ago, whatever that was, is that he was talking about exactly that, that if you want to grow your business, maybe you buy another one. So in today's world, you've got a guy that's owned a business for 35, 40 years, and he's up there in age, and he just wants to, be done now. He didn't have a child or something to hand it down to, whatever. He just wants out and cash out. So one of the things that Capital Concierge does is, again, it's a business to business type relationship. We have over 150 different lenders for a whole bunch of different things. Could you share that screen for
Yeah,
just a
absolutely. Yeah.
second? So on this screen, and I don't know how well you can see it or whatever, but we have
Should be pretty
multiple.
good.
Pardon?
Should be pretty good. I can see, I mean, I'm just look, it should be pretty clear for everyone when they watch.
Okay, great. So what we're saying is that if you're in need of capital to grow your business, whether you're looking to buy a business, and buying a business is a whole lot easier than starting out from the first day and building it from scratch, right, Colton?
Yeah.
But one of the things that we have done and what we worked on with other businesses is being able to put a process together almost like a pre-qualification. So in other words, you hear on the street that you're at the supply house and you hear some whispering of, "Hey, John's AC is potentially for sale. He's looking for a buyer," or whatever the case may be is. And you're like, "Man, I would really like to buy John's AC because I know that he's been in business for a long time." But it's like, "Man, but I wonder how much he make, I wonder how much he wants for it, and can I get a business loan," or whatever the case may be is. So what we have developed is almost a pre-qualification. Well, it really is a pre-qualification process to where you go to John's AC and say, "Well, I might be interested in it. How much do you want for it? Ballpark or whatever." And he says, $1.5 million, whatever the case may be is. What we can do is provide a process where we gather some personal financial data from you and a resume. And a resume would be like, "Why would I need a resume? I'm not looking for a job." But SBA for one is put in place to help business owners that maybe a bank would say no to, but because it's personally guaranteed by the government, they're more likely to say yes. And so what we
Got
do
it.
is we gather this financial information and we then set up a welcome call. We're a business capital broker, right? We don't loan any of our own money. We put people together, banks and clients together. But what we do with that is gather some financial information. We present that to the lender that we feel like is the best opportunity to get that customer approved for a business loan. And then we put a call together and they're reviewing the financial statements, their background. Obviously, Dave from Dave's AC has owned a business for 8 years now and he's successful. He's got 10 trucks and he's growing and he wants to buy John's AC. And John's AC wants $1.5 million for their 4 trucks. And, you know, there's a different location in the next town over, what have you. We go through that process. And then basically it comes to a point where a lender would say, you know what, based on everything I see in your financials, your last year, end of the year financials and balance sheet and interim financials and balance sheet, as well as your personal financial situation, looks like we can put a deal together. So we'll send you some additional list of docs that we would need to get to a what we call a term sheet. And then you can make an offer to purchase the business. So we offer that for buying businesses out. Sometimes maybe there's two partners in a business and partners goes, hey, you know what? I think I'm ready to be done. Can you buy me out? How much do you want for it? Well, I want $1 million and I'll walk. Okay. Well, again, kind of the same process, go through the pre-qualification process. We, you know, obviously the bank will need some type of letter of intent or purchase agreement or things like that, but we can help contractors with their partner buyout or buying another business or whatever, or maybe somebody wants to buy their business and maybe don't have the money that they can turn them over to us and we can work with them to get them pre-qualified. Along with that, we also have lenders. Like, for example, we have one lender that if you're 2 years in business and have a personal FICO score of $700, that we can get up to $150,000 in as little as like 2 weeks of a time. So now that we're in the throes of the summer, maybe your manufacturer gives you a deal where you can buy 2 truckloads of air conditioners at a really cheap price, but you don't have the money. So we can help you with that. Equipment finance, we do equipment that if they need new trucks, they need new tools, equipment, things like that. We have multiple different options, multiple different lenders for multiple different options, basically any type of capital need. Obviously, the banks don't like loaning money to people that need money. I say that a couple times a day. But
yeah, for sure.
At the end the result is that we have we're pretty good at being able to assess a client and guide them and say, I believe that we have a good shot at getting this approved for you, go through the pre-approval process, and then get them to a term sheet for closing for the loan. So I just thought, after the MAC conversation and the time with IHCS and Capital Concierge and us dealing with contractors and things, you know, there may be an opportunity for somebody's out there looking for capital and they don't know where to go.
Yeah, I think that's a great point too, because like, honestly, like just hearing this, like might just even open some people's minds up. Cause I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, I know you talk to a lot of people too, but you'd be surprised how like acquiring doesn't even cross people's mind. Cause they just think it's impossible, right, at where they're at. And really it's not, with solutions like this. But the question I have for you is like, okay, let's say, What do you see is most common? Just out of my own curiosity, right? Like, is it most common that you're seeing people buy, you know, acquire new companies or buy partners out? Or do you do a lot more work with like financing equipment and financing trucks? And like, I'm just curious, what's the inbound people? Like, what are they mainly, what do you see often?
It kind of goes in waves or whatever. I also work with companies that do franchising.
Okay.
And so, you know, maybe someone that's got a small business or whatever is interested in a franchise to kind of just put all the policy and procedures in place and how to and the CRM and all that stuff. And it's like, okay, well, a lot of times it's a franchise will want $50,000 up front to, you know, as the initial franchise fee.
Yep.
So, you know, there's opportunity for that. We do, I've done several partner buyouts. I've done several business acquisitions. I've done quite a few of all of that. And, you know, a guy comes in and says, hey, I'm growing my business and I need another truck.
Yeah.
And then can you hook me up with an equipment finance for a new truck? Where they go and they get the guy pre-qualified, and he walks into the Chevrolet dealership or wherever he's buying the truck and say, hey, I'm pre-approved for $45,000. I need these racks put on and things like that. I'm ready to go. I'm already pre-approved. And then that's a strong negotiating tool when you go in there and you say, look, I've already got a pre-approval right here for $45,000. Hook me up.
Correct. So kind of a follow-up to that. So let's say I am, because I'm this is actually interesting to me, Tom, as well, because you know, that's something that we're going to be doing quite a bit of in the next few years is acquisition. And so one first question, what are the common challenges that you see businesses facing when trying to secure capital? And then like the back piggyback question on that, like how can you improve your chances of getting approved? So common issues that you see, and then how can you improve your chances?
Well, in other words, it's every scenario is different, which is a really good question. And I'll try to unpack that a little bit.
For sure.
Every situation is different. But the biggest thing is that banks, the higher the personal credit score, the better chances I've got of getting somebody a business loan, even though it's okay. For the business.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They're looking at that personal FICO score. So like this one deal that I was telling you about where it's $150,000 that I can get in as little as like 2 weeks, it's got to be 700 plus, a strong 700 plus, not a 689, not a, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And so with SBA, which I do quite a bit of SBA loans, there's a thing called an E-Tran score.
Okay.
And an E-Tran score basically... a significant, you've seen credit scores, how it's made up of your, how old is your oldest account? What's your debt to income ratio? There's like these components that make up that number. Well, in an E-Tran score, one of the biggest factors is personal credit of the shareholder. Okay. And so there's times where, you know, when on a partner loan or what have you, any shareholder under 20% is like what I say is off the radar, right? So if they've got a shareholder that's 20% or less that has less than stellar credit, that won't be as impactful as the 80% shareholder that would be really impactful to. But personal credit is huge. Time in business, profitability, right? So in other words, if you were, and it's almost like from a profitability standpoint, a lot of these lenders want to know that you're like, you at least made $1 last year. And now typical business owners from a tax standpoint, they're looking for ways that they can pay less taxes. You know, it's no secret. It's like, you know, from a standpoint of and maybe it's investing in new equipment or different things like that to where it's
correct. All
the tax burden. But at the end of the day, when you're going to a lender, they want to see a business that's making money that they can feel confident that when they do a loan with you, that they're going to get paid back. And so
that's so funny. It's not to cut you off, but it's really funny because, I mean, you know this, but like I grew up farming, right? So not a big enough family farm for this to matter, where we, like my family never went and got like operating loans, but some of my friends that I grew up with still do run like pretty large farms. And now they're obviously adults and they do run them now, but it's always funny because I always like, they'll always say, you know, well, I gotta, you know, cut it as much as I can to pay the least amount of taxes, but I got to show a profit so I can get an operating loan for next year. It's like
it's an oxymoron to a certain degree, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, and again, it's one of those things where the bank always looks at collateral. You know, anything like an SBA loan, anything. It used to be 500,000, up to 500,000. There's no collateral now. They moved it back to the 350 that it was pre-COVID. So they're. And the credit committee guys always thinking like, okay, when this thing goes south, how am I going to make the bank call? So correct. What we become is we become a storyteller. In other words, we're talking with the client, we're building that story, accentuating the positive, maybe be accentuating the negatives, but never would we ever lie to a lender or make anything that's not correct. But it's all about the story, right? So telling that story and of, you know, their background, their ability to grow. We help clients with business plans and projection models and things like that that the S, you know, that these banks are going to require on any type of new purchase or whatever the case may be. So we become as much as a consultant as we do a business loan broker, if you will. So
yeah,
it's biggest thing is that right now there's always opportunity, right? So whether you're looking for it or not. So
yeah.
If you have someone that you know that is looking to sell a business and that you can, and it's geographically maybe in another town, but still close enough that you can manage the process, maybe that's a way to take you from a $5 million company to a $10 million company without building it from 5 to 10, you know. And we also help with real estate loans and things like that. The real estate, if you're buying a business that has an existing building on a piece of real estate, we can merge the business acquisition cost and with the real estate loan and get as much. Real estate loans are 25-year amortization, where business loans are 10-year amortizations. But if we merge those together, it's feathered out. Maybe it's a 21-year loan between the real estate and the business acquisition cost, which makes it for a very low monthly payment. SBA loans are no prepayment penalty. With real estate, there's a prepaid penalty in 3% the first year, 2% the second year, 1% the third year. On a 7A traditional SBA loan where there's no real estate involved, there's no prepayment penalty. So a guy can borrow $1 million and have a really super, super strong year and pay it back in a year, and he just paid interest on it for a year. So
correct.
There's a lot of opportunity, but one of the things is that we can do is be a good sounding board. Another point is when you go to a bank, you have a yes or a no. Right? 50-50 shot, so to speak.
Yep.
Maybe better than 50-50 or whatever. But with us, we have multiple lenders. So we get a client, we take it to one lender says no, we take it to the next lender, and maybe that lender says yes. So
that's a good point that brings up a question that I have. So how do you determine, you mentioned all these different ways of funding and different types of loans and stuff. So how do you determine what type of funding makes the most sense?
Well, we start with what I call a client welcome call, where we're talking to them. It's like, okay, where are you right now? You know, with you have a business, yes. Okay, what's the top line revenue? How's your personal credit? You know, where are you wanting to go with that? And then you've got this business. How was that profitability from the company you want to buy?
Yeah.
So we ask enough questions to where basically at that point, with expertise, we then decide which lender is the best opportunity for to get a yes. And, and sometimes we talk with somebody that says, hey, I'd like to buy an existing business. And we go through all the welcome call questionnaires and things like that. It's like, you know what? I think you're almost there, but you really need to work on your personal FICO score, or you really need to work on your profitability of your company and show more profit. Because just to your point, the banks want to see a profitable business, not a profitable business.
What do you think is the biggest mistake that people, that like a normal average Joe guy looking to go grow his, he has a company that's doing $2 million, he wants to do $10 million or $5 million next year, and he's looking to acquire John next to him. What do you think the one of the most common mistakes that people make when looking to secure capital and funding?
Not being ready, and I'll unpack that a bit too. When I say, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you don't pay a lot of taxes. So therefore, you know, you're watching the profitability of the company, and there's levers. There's always levers for any business that you can adjust that, right? But when I say not being ready, you go in and maybe their personal credit is in the tank or whatever. It's below 600 or whatever the case may be. So, you know, if you're looking to buy and grow and expand, money is an avenue to help you get there quicker, even though it costs interest.
Yeah.
But again, it's a tool, just like the Freon that you put in an HVAC system, or the gauges, or whatever it is, your dolly to run the condenser unit out to the backyard. You know, financial loans, business loans are a tool to, as long as they're used properly, can have a huge effect on your ability to grow your business, and then also increase net profit and top line revenue and net profit.
Okay. So let's say you are, let's say that somebody is looking to acquire another business. And obviously they're looking at their current business and all those, you know, all those details that they need to know, personal credit, so on and so forth. Are they looking at, is a solid business plan important? Are they looking at, what are your plans for the next business? right? Like, is that part of it?
100%. And so, especially with SBA's, SBA loans, they require a business plan and also a projection model. So in other words, if you're, you know, we also do business startups. So if there's people out there listening that says, man, I've always wanted to open my, I always wanted to own my own HVAC system, my HVAC business. We do startup loans, and which is strong for SBA. Again, personal credit is paramount. In other words, being able to be prepared as far as knowing what the banks are going to look for. And as I told you before, we talk to a fair amount of clients that say, you know what, based on everything that you told me, I would say right now in your current condition, you're not quite ready. Maybe it's personal credit, maybe it's profitability or whatever, or maybe their books are on a dirty napkin stuck in a shoebox underneath their desk is their accounting software.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's all about being, when you walk into a bank, you've got a professional business plan that has marketing strategies, demographic strategies, locations, all the different things of you want that banker to, because the credit committee, again, or the guy that's making the decision on the yes or no, he's looking most of the time looking for a reason to say no, not necessarily yes.
Correct.
So, you know, the stronger that business plan is, like, man, these guys got their stuff together, you know, projection models. Yep. These look realistic. They look obtainable and they look, you know, maybe a little aggressive, but you know, all projection models are basically wrong the first day you print them. They're either higher or lower, and there's reasons for that. Right.
Yeah.
So, but that's one of the things that we kind of help coach along and work with them on, that, you know, you just can't say, well, I want to buy a new business. That's my business.
Correct.
You know, got to be a little methodical about that and a little more detailed. And again, they're looking for people that obviously have this business acquisition well thought out, what it's going to do to their business, both positively and negatively, right? So it's going to take more time from the owner because he's now going to be overseeing two branches or whatever. He's going to have more employees, he's going to have more trucks on the road, things like that. So,
So do you, then that totally makes sense. I think I'm glad I asked that question because that's more than what I thought you would have needed. So I obviously, you know, you're specializing in the HVAC world and you mentioned some real estate stuff and some other things, but do you see any one industry in particular have a hard time, getting funding, or is it kind of even keel across the board?
It's pretty, really has nothing to do with industry. Per se.
I mean, just the people.
You know, there's talks on the street about the solar business and with them doing away with the tax credit and some of that stuff. I mean, I don't know how industry specific a bank is going to be unless they're heavily involved in that. But one of the things that I wanted to bring up also is that, you know, you have a client and the customer says, okay, well, I'm $2 million a year. I really want to get to the 3 million and on my way to 4 million. It's like, okay, well, you're a marketing company. We can help you with that. Okay. But in other words, to really go after the marketing, you put together a budget and say, you know, over the next year, you need $150,000 for us to do all the Google ads and the pay-per-clicks and the social media and your fees and what have you. You know, we can help with that. It's like, okay, well, we even have loans as small as $25,000. That's like, hey, I really want to do a big marketing push this summer. I really want to kick it up. Colton, can you help me? Yes. Okay. What's that going to cost me? Well, $25,000. Oh, $25,000. Okay. That's a little tough right at the moment. Okay.
Correct.
You reach out to your buddy, Tom, and see if we can help that guy with a $25,000 loan that he can pay back after when he's making all that money, that all that business that you drove into him.
Correct. That's perfect. I actually talked to a guy earlier today that might need that. So he was in your right, just about right on the money with the 25 grand too. So we may have to send him over to you.
Not my first rodeo.
That's actually really hilarious because that's like actually really close to the number. And I had a conversation like this earlier today. And I was like, dude, you don't have to do that option. Like, I've got other options for you. But
And even like Matt, who's doing coaching and things like that, I want to talk to him about, you know, guy comes in and wants his coaching expertise and his 25 grand. Hey, I can probably get the guy a loan for that.
Correct. Yeah, no, that's sweet. That's good to know. It's really good to know, actually. We've been looking at options like that. And there's like obviously companies out there specifically that'll do that, that'll integrate pretty easily, like Afterpay and other like things that once again, I haven't looked into it too much. But that's good to know anyway, because as we've grown as a company too, like obviously we have options. Like 2 years ago, you'd ask me, I never thought we would have had a $25,000 option up front, right? And we do now. Like you hit that number on the nail. So, and some people just can't believe it. Now, obviously, we have other options for people, but if they really want that, right? At least maybe we may be able to connect them.
But couldn't, just as a question back to you, if you don't mind, is
please.
that if you're going to, if a guy wants to be very aggressive and he wants to grow his business, and isn't it better to be able to give him a package like that, that ultimately will cost him less as opposed to paying monthly $4,000 or $3,000
100%,
when you can,
100%.
when you put a program together that says, okay, for the next 6 months, we're going to do this, 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 and it should drive a rate return on investment of that.
Correct. You're on to one, Tom. You're on today because it is a 6 month program. And 100% is beneficial because they could do monthly, right? But it's much more expensive, right? So it will save them money in the long run. And if they have a good lending option, yes, you're 100% right. Definitely more beneficial. The only way we'd ever turn people away from that, and I had this conversation with this gentleman today, right? It's like, hey, listen, if you do the 6 month option, right, just know you're there for 6 months, right? So if there's any doubts or anything, I want you to go with another option just so you're comfortable, right? Because I've seen people do a 6 month option and lose their mind 4 days later, right? Because they can't believe,
They
it's
didn't give
disgusting.
you enough time. It's 4 days into a 6 month program.
Yeah, and not even that, like nothing's happened. It's just like, just typical buyer remorse stuff, right? They literally, I've had guys, we had an incident like this recently, and I actually very much like the guy. He's very, very nice. But did a 6 month program with us. It was 3 days later. And he's like, we asked him to log into Facebook and he's like, I don't know if I can do this, right? Just stressed, right? And it's like, chill out, calm down, right? That's a discussion that needs to be had. So otherwise, to answer your question, yeah, it's always is a better opportunity to go that direction. If we can save them money and they're comfortable, right? And we know usually you can tell those types of companies, right? There's companies that are pushing it financially, and then that's the ones that get nervous, right? And there's companies that aren't, and then they're going to make a decision, and they know what they want, and they have the capital to do so. And those guys are the ones that almost always take advantage of those longer options.
You obviously know what you're doing, and it's
Correct.
basically like, if you know, kind of like what I do when I unpack, I get a client, I'm unpacking, okay, where are you at now, where do you want to go,
Exactly.
what's your goals, dreams, aspirations, things like that, and then let me come back to you with a program or the best way that I feel like that I can help you. So
Yeah.
especially on, I don't claim to know much about, what you do from an advertising standpoint, other than I'm amazed at the things that you do. But at the same time, I realize programs, buying a program that you can bank on, that you're going to have
Yeah.
X amount of revenue on, that you're able to do things more efficiently and make media buys and all the different things like that. So
Correct.
it, please pass on any customers that are looking to buy your package.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, and to your point, I mean, you're right too. And like, as we've grown as a company, we're not huge, right? I mean, we got 25 people now, and but like, we have some players, right? And those guys, everybody here is paid well, right? And they do the right, like, they're not. It's not some skimpy thing that guys are coming in. So yeah, I mean, it costs more, right? Like, I mean, our director of paid search is from private equity. Like the month before he started, he generated $4.5 million or something crazy that month before he started with us, right? So like there's I mean, the guys that make decisions and really pull levers here, that's what you're paying for, right? It's like try to, and I told, I tell guys that all the time. It's like
You're
not to be
paying for
downplayed.
knowledge, exactly.
Correct, 100%. And it's like try and accomplish this team that I'm about to give you for X amount of dollars a month. Try and accomplish that on your own with the same budget. It's not gonna, you're not even gonna come close. Anyway, so but not to get too far down in my rabbit hole, I have one more question for you, and then obviously anything that you may want to leave everybody with. But what do you think what do you see the future of lending looking like? I mean, obviously it's always evolving, technology and things of that nature. What changes are you seeing, and do you see any major changes coming down the road, or you think, it's gonna stay steady?
Excuse me. I do a fair amount of SBA lending only because it's It is backed by the federal government, and it does it allows a bank to say yes easier. Some of the things that with the Doge things, Elon Musk and whatever, they found somebody, they found a 3-year-old person having an SBA loan. So now all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, fraud everywhere. Okay. I don't see heavily fraud in the SBA space. Although back when COVID is, they had EIDL loans that were helping businesses at a very low rate and what have you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cheap money. It was like 3.25% interest. Heck, I got some, you know.
Correct.
But what's happening is that as from a lender standpoint, everything on SBA is driven off of a basis of prime, like an SBA 7A loan is prime plus some number.
Yeah.
And anywhere from prime plus 1.5 to prime plus 4, as far as depending on what they perceive risk at. So right now, when you talk about the lending space, you know, you hear President Trump, you know, pushing on the Fed chair to lower the prime rate because of things are going better, gas pricing coming down, economy getting better, whatever like that. I believe we're at right now at 7.5% of prime rate. I do believe it's worth at least a 0.5%, you know, ratchet down. Trump, I believe President Trump wants it to be more than that. But again, the prime rate affects obviously the pricing, and then SBA loans, it floats on the prime. So I'm no economist, but I see the prime going down as opposed to going up, right? At least for the next 4 years or so.
Yeah.
And so the monthly payment is based on it fluctuates on prime on the quarter. So if prime is 7.5 and it's plus 2 is 9.5, and then all of a sudden it drops 50 basis points or 0.5%. Now all of a sudden instead of 9.5, you're at 9%. And so that's going to affect your payments actually going to go down. So I believe we're in a good time spot for someone that is looking for an SBA loan, because I believe that the prime rate is going to be ratcheting down hopefully sooner than later. Banks are always suspicious, you know, like, oh my gosh, the tariffs. Oh my gosh, this. Oh my gosh, that. You know, we better tighten our belts up or whatever the case may be. So, you know, when back in the first administration of President Trump, you know, prime was like, what, 4%?
Yeah.
You know, obviously. So that made it pretty lucrative to get an SBA loan. So because the bank is working off the prime plus rate. So
Correct.
The prime rate is what they potentially borrow money at, and then they're making a spread over top of that prime rate. So where do I see, you know, there's always opportunity for businesses looking for business loans that is prepared and have their ducks in a row. Shareholder personal credit, even business credit, you know, Dun & Bradstreet reports and things like that. So Lyons and Dun & Bradstreet are the Equifax of the business credit world, so to speak.
Makes sense.
So
yep.
Getting yourself, if you know that that's part of your business strategy going forward, is that you keep your business credit intact. You keep your personal credit intact. You keep your, you look for a profitable company on your tax returns. Those kind of things will help prepare you for when the time is right to be ready.
Cool. No, that's awesome. Any final stuff, Tom? I mean, we went over a lot. It was a lot for me just because I'm not in the space, but I think we hit on a lot of, touched on a lot of things. I tried to ask questions that a normal average Joe guy would, but anything additional to leave, you know, anybody listening with, or is that kind of the meat and potatoes?
Well, one of the things is that I tell people as far as Capital Concierge and through IHCS, I'm a owner of both, but we do an awful lot of pro bono work. And what I mean by that is like, hey, I got this idea and here's my situation. And then I'm pretty good at digging in and finding out and being able to give them an opinion like, look, based on everything you told me, and after talking with you, I think we got a good shot of getting you. So, you know, I talked to a business owner yesterday. He's looking for $650,000 to buy two locations of a particular brand, and which I know a lot about. I was like, that's a great deal. Your personal credit, your personal financial statement, I think you're a great candidate. Let's get started. I'm ready to go. And
that's
so,
cool.
And so with we, And that initial conversation is obviously, I don't charge for those phone calls.
Correct.
A lot of lenders I deal with pay me a referral fee. So my efforts to that client is free. So interested in talking with me, it's 800-897-1409, TMurphy@capitalconcierge.com. And I'm here to be happy to talk with you anytime. Any of the viewers that are watching, listening, especially our viewers, podcast viewers, anything that I can do to help.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think that's a great place to leave it too. Cause like essentially what we're getting at there is like, hey, don't be afraid to ask, right? The opportunity might be there, right? And Tom will help. Tom will help you through it.
That's a good point to make, is that, you know, when, if you think you're marginal and you're going to walk into a Bank of America and go, hi, I'm John Smith, I'm looking for $500,000. Like, what did you lose in the parking lot? I want to get in the air conditioning business, or I'm in the air conditioning business, blah, blah, blah. You know, people are embarrassed to hear, I'm sorry, Colton, you didn't qualify, right?
Yeah, so correct.
You know, with one of the things with us is that we give them that safe zone of like, tell me your story, where are you at, where you want to go, what your personal situation is, and then let's see if there's a path.
Yeah, sweet. Awesome, guys. So if you're listening, no matter if this is YouTube or LinkedIn or streaming the podcast from any of the services, feel free to reach out to Tom. He listed his phone number and his email there in the back just a second ago. I think this is solid if people are looking for funding. And we will catch you on the next one. I think that Thomas is 34, 35 next. Hopefully we can get Jason back in the realm, busy guy running around. And then we'll look at bringing some cool guests on in the future. But this is a good tangible podcast, right, for people that are actually looking to leverage capital that don't have it. So we'll catch you on the next one, guys. Peace, love, unity. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.